Director Lucy.
Present.
Flag salute.
Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Move into public comment first. I have, looks like, four requests that are not related to agenda items. The first person I would ask to speak, it'll be a three-minute public comment. We'll give a 30-second warning, and then at 3 minutes, we will move on to the next person. The first request to make a public comment is Moises Mugira. Mugira? I'm sorry if I mispronounced that. And Carol Ann has the request.
You know, the other councils, they don't make you sign a request.
You know how stiff we are.
Moises,
oh, hi, how are you doing? My name is Moises Mugira. I live in Arroyo Grande, California, but I'm here on behalf of the Boys and Girls Clubs for the firework booth recommendation. I just wanted to urge you that given the strong and tough times of the economy these days, that opportunities like firework booth sales are an opportunity for us to use to raise funds necessary. Over the past 16 years, the Boys and Girls Clubs has been a major provider of after-school activity for kids. Currently, we serve 3,000 local area kids. Over the past 16 years, we've grown to 5 sites, with the first one starting here in Oceano. So I would ask that you strongly consider the Boys and Girls Clubs when it comes to making that decision. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Next, if we could have Mary Wagoner.
Hi, I'm Mary Wagoner, and my husband and I live at 1761 Beach Street. And last November 3rd, I came home from being gone for a week, and the sewer was running out of my garage door. And I contacted Oceano Community Service, and they gave me the phone number of Dan. And I called him, and he went to the outlet in the front, and he said the sewer is clear. So I called my insurance company. Insurance company took care of everything. However, when the plumber came in and unclogged the clean out, he went 70 feet before he reached the clog. In January, the gas company came, could not find the sewer line. They hired a camera. The camera went down our clean out because of all the construction at our house. And they found blockage still in the sewer line. And there are 4 homes attached to that one sewer line. So consequently, that's where we got all the sewage while we were gone. I contacted Dan in March again to remove the blockage, and he said he had work. We said we'd be gone. We'll come back in 4 weeks. It is now, I called the office, because I've contacted Dan several times to remove the blockage.
For our next public comment, we'd ask Mr. Thomas Ryan.
I looked at a few days' packets, so it's got the building question and the leak adjustment letter that I submitted.
Thank you.
So.
Thank you.
Okay, so the letter on the front is the leak adjustment letter that I submitted. And on the 18th of April, in the morning, our water was completely off. So my younger brother and I went and took a look at the valve, and it was just shut off. It wasn't, like, locked or anything. So we turned it back on, and we saw that water was leaking out of the retaining wall behind my home, which is where the box is. It's about 3-foot distance from the box. So that day we replaced or repaired the fix, and on probably about the 3rd of this month, we got a bill that was $3,400, stating that we consumed 818 units of water, which from my understanding is in excess of 650,000 gallons of water. I submitted this letter for leak adjustment, and the nice lady here, who was actually very helpful, told me that she could only lower the bill down to $1,782.45, which, quite frankly, I can't afford that kind of water bill. So I wanted to come today and see if there could be some kind of other adjustment to it. I understand the pre-developed formula, and I'd imagine that would work in normal circumstances, but with an Olympic swimming pool size of water leaking out, it doesn't quite work out. The second sheet there shows the our average consumption, which is an average of 27 units.
Mm-hmm. Director Searcy, do you know what the procedure is for a leak adjustment?
Well, I know that we have a certain type of procedure if the leak is to be found on either our side or the customer side. And I don't have that particular procedure in front of me right now, but if I may ask you a question, was that, where was the leak? Was it actually on the district side or your side?
I believe it would be on my side because it was closer to the house from the box. But I'm not sure exactly how you guys determine that. There's the box and then probably about a foot of room and then a retaining wall to my backyard. The box is actually in the alley behind my house.
Yes.
And it was leaking from just inside the retaining wall, okay. Which the piping was actually kind of under the neighbor's backyard that we had to tunnel under a bit.
But trust me, you know, these kinds of things I have them written in red, and, you know, you'll hear from somebody immediately.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Next public comment would be Giselle Naylor. Cannot.
Good evening, Mr. Godero.
Good evening.
You're sitting in Lori Angelo's seat. She's not here. Good evening, Mr. Searcy, our new district board member, and Ms. Hurdle, our new district board member, and Mary Lucy, our longstanding district board member, and our new attorney from Hyatt, Hall and Hyatt, Molly Thurman. This is the first bill that we've gotten with the increased fees. And I want to let you know that I think there may be something wrong with the bill. And this is why. My water consumption did not change, even though I was bound and determined to keep track of how much water I was consuming. So I turned the toilet water off. And now I take a 3-gallon bucket of water and I flush the toilet by putting the 3 gallons of water down my water-saving toilet.
Okay.
Right after the last rain, which was the last week in March, I woke up with my neighbors knocking on my door at 1 o'clock in the morning. They said, did you have water running outside your house? Did you leave water running? And I went outside, and there was water really gushing out of my water heater from the excess overflow valve. And even though the water heater is old, it may have just given up. What concerns me is that the water heater was fine one day, and then the next day, right after the rains had stopped, it was completely given out. There was no prior leakage. So I went to Streeter and asked Streeter how many water heaters have they sold recently in the Oceano area. And he said, we sold 6 today. So then I called up Home Depot, where I got my water heater, and said, and, you know, called the distributor and said, how many water heaters have you sold? in the Oceano and Grover Beach area in the last day. And she said 15. So my question is, what caused the water heater to give out after heavy rains? Was it increased pressure as things were made to adjust the flooding down in the area, you know, where there was heavy flooding by the treatment plant, when people are tightening down manhole covers so that the water doesn't spill out, does that increase the flow up the system? But no big deal. I can replace the water heater. But the point is that I paid a water bill right after that happened, I believe. I believe I got a water bill for February. Then this bill I got on the 20th. It's due the...
This has really been a different kind of year with the rain later on. Anything you can do, if you can't meet us and help us pick up trash, feel free to pick up trash on the beach when you're down there. Anything you can do. Also, if we do have more rains, it's good to let the people know that are here visiting that it's not good to play in the creek. We kind of have to police our own action down there. And after the heavy rains, the bacteria levels are real high. A lot of those children, the parents don't know. They've been waiting in the cars for hours. First thing they do is get in that creek. So if you see people as you're down there, please remember to just tell them to keep their kids out if it's been raining. I also wanted to let you know that the airport day was a very good success. It was wonderful. Everybody had a great time. I think that the airport would work with us with doing events here, maybe possibly. Little things maybe in the summer or something. So keep that in mind. And again, anytime you get a chance to go down there, it's nice to see the skydivers and have all of a sudden some new attraction for Oceano. And that's all. Again, thanks for all your hard work.
Thank you, Brenda. Yeah. Shirley Gibson.
That was refreshing.
Miss Gibson? Oh, there she is.
Hi, Shirley Gibson, Halcyon. I had some questions about the meeting on Sunday night. I wasn't aware of it. I'd kind of like if the board can discuss what was discussed at that meeting so we're aware. And I'm curious whether that was posted on the website. And don't things have to be posted 72 hours ahead of time for a legal meeting? I realize, you know, this was not the normal situation with the general manager, but still I think that transparency of the board is the key to your success, transparency with the public. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms.
Thank
Lucia.
You.
Jeff Pynack.
Thank you. I would echo her comments about transparency. That's always a really great thing, and appreciate the board's efforts at that always, and Ms. Auer's comments about the creeks. As surf rider, we understand that specifically about any runoff that comes at any time. You want to stay away from any creeks or runoff areas. When we see kids playing near those things, really, if there could be any kind of posting that would do that, that would be really a cool thing to do too. So just even if it's a paper sign, when that stuff's flowing, it's really dangerous. Not only is there high bacteria levels, but there's heavy metals. There's all kinds of road runoff and stuff that comes from all kinds of places. So based on that, yeah. Of course, I'm here. I have a handout for you guys, which is a letter I didn't get to talk to you about. This was a letter to the editor. This was in the Coast News on the 19th, the issue of the 19th. I meant to read this at the last meeting. I didn't get to comment. But this is about South County Sanitation District violates basic ethics standards. This is a letter written by Stephen Mintz, PhD, professor at Aurora Grandy and to Grover Beach. And we've been coming to these council meetings now for the last 3 months. What we're really hoping for is that some council, someplace, will eventually see this as that somebody needs to lead on this, really. Some council somewhere needs to take a lead on this ethics and this investigation of John Wallace and the conflict of interest with the Wallace Group and being both plant administrator and engineering firm. What was that?
You have 30 seconds.
30 seconds, yeah. A conflict of interest exists. This is the grand jury from their investigation, and by the way, you can go online and get it. A conflict of interest exists between the administrator of the South County Wastewater Treatment Plant and his engineering firm, and the district's board of directors has failed to recognize or eliminate it. An initial investigation by the county's civil grand jury has found.
Thank you, Mr. Pynack. Karen White. Good evening, Ms. White. How are you?
I'm just waiting for him to get through. Yes. Karen White, 1566 Hiawatha Lane, Halcyon. Very upset about your Sunday night meeting. I'm an old journalist. I know you only have to post it. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do that. But a Sunday meeting at 6:30, I immediately become suspicious because you're sliding something by, whether you post it. It certainly wasn't on your website on Friday, 72 hours notice. So I'm just going to say I'm going to watch you, and I'm going to watch you when you have your regular meetings, when you have your special meetings, when you have your emergency meetings, because you don't need any more suspicions of secrecy. You need to play real close to keeping everything fair and square. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen. Brad Snook.
Excuse me. Can I ask that legal counsel, since it's not that legal counsel, maybe during your report you give a brief summary of that meeting? I as a director would appreciate that. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Brad Snook. I'm the volunteer coordinator for our county's chapter of the Surfrider Foundation. Actually, we're really close to 4 months that Jeff and I have been asking for an investigation of these three stakeholder city councils. And we're asking for an independent investigation of potential malfeasances by plant administrator Wallace Group at our sanitation district's wastewater treatment plant. During that time, the sanitation district's directors Ferrara and Nichols have steadfastly opposed this investigation. With the critical findings of the civil grand jury now publicly available, it's time for this council to vote and ask their representative on our sanitation district's board of directors to authorize medical leave. It has been documented in the press that this chief plant operator disagreed with the amount of sewage that spilled into the streets and waters of Oceano in December. Mr. Wallace has documented the spill of 384,000 gallons, while the chief plant operator estimated over 1 million. 384,000 gallons is only about 14% of the 2.8 million gallons that usually passes through the plant every day. I'm not an engineer, but I would think the Water Board will have reasons to be suspicious of Mr. Wallace's calculations. We know the former chief plant operator disagreed. We know that the Sanitation District Board of Directors spent $14,000 on a previous investigation.
30 seconds.
Got it. The grand jury reviewed that previous investigation's findings, saying it was ineptly performed and the investigators' conclusions were not substantiated. We know that our community leaders have been slow to engage necessary changes on many levels. At your next meeting, we ask you to vote to request an independent investigation of potential malfeasances by plant administrator Wallace Group at our sanitation district's wastewater treatment plant. We need a highly trained, third-party investigator.
3 minutes is up. Thank you.
With a scientific background and sound understanding of finances for this investigation. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Perhaps would people mind, the audience and the board mind, if we move 8A up on the agenda? It's the fire department's weed abatement.
Yeah.
I see we have Chief Heath and Chief Hubert here this evening.
I have no problem with that.
Okay.
Do we need a motion or anything to change? No. Okay.
Oh, okay. Chief Heath? We need to do it. Can we do it afterwards? Or do we need
that's
to do it first?
For 8A.
Okay.
That's
before he presents. Okay. I'm sorry, Chief Heath.
That's we need
for. Is there any public comment on item 8A? It's the weed abatement. Oh, there is one. I'm sorry. Thank you. Please come forward, sir.
Good evening. My name is Rich McElhinney. I live at 1322 20th Court in Oceano, in the little cul-de-sac. And basically, I'm just here this evening to see if my property has gotten off the bad list. I took last week off and worked as much as I could to clean it up. And the month before, I took another week off and work to clean it up, and I just hoping I make it off the list this time, and I don't really need the expense of having a third party come in and work on my weeds. So basically I tried calling the phone number that was in the letter, but I didn't get any response from that after leaving a message, so I'm just here for a little information. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other public comment, ma'am?
Good evening. Rick Heath, Five Cities Fire Authority. Pursuant to the California Health and Safety Code, Section 14875, on April 15, 2011, notice to abate fire hazard postcards were mailed to all Oceano property owners from the Five Cities Fire Authority. On May 17th through the 24th, the district-wide inspection of lots and properties in violation of weed abatement standards was completed. The Board of Directors will find a complete listing of 72 lots that were noted in violation. That's on Attachment 1. Please note that there have already been several lots that are on that list that have abated their weeds. And we'll speak with those individuals outside. During the period of June 10th through 17th, the weed abatement contractor will abate the lots that still are in violation, and invoices will be mailed to the property owners for the work completed. A cost protest hearing will be held on July 13th, giving the property owners a chance to protest any charges. The Board of Directors will then approve the list of properties to be sent to the San Luis Obispo County Auditor to be placed on the owner's tax bill. And again, if anybody from the public and audience this evening feels they might have received a notice of error, or have already corrected their violation, we'll be available to meet with them outside after this presentation. That's all I have.
Thank you. I don't have any questions. Does the board have any questions?
You say between June 10th and June 17th that the abatement will start?
Yes, sir.
And will that be the fire authority or will that be a subcontractor?
That'll be a contractor, and that is Little John's Landscaping. They're the lowest bid landscaper contractor.
Thank you.
Any other questions, Director Lucy?
Nope.
All right. Thank you, Chief Heath. If anybody couldn't hear him, the fire department's available to talk to any property owners about this.
Thanks.
Thank you very much. Go ahead.
We have that list.
Yeah, it's right here. We do have the list. If anybody's interested, it is in the packet, the board packet today, and I should be up on the website. So. Okay. For tonight? Now, I'm going to make a motion to we approve the agenda for tonight, the consent agenda.
Is there anything that, is everything in the order? Is there anything that, I was kind of looking through it since we're working as just four directors tonight. Do we need 8E?
Second.
Can we just do this orally? All in favor?
Aye.
All in favor? Aye.
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 Aye. All right, great. Motion passes 4-0.
Because we're, you know, there's no reason for a closed session that we can't say out in the public.
Moving to a meeting, or is there any board comment? That's item number 4. Director Searcy, do you have any board comment?
I have none at this time. Thank you.
Director Hurdle? Nor do I. Turning attention to item number 5, review and approval of minutes. Actually, I think that there is some concern that the minutes are incorrect. And so I would like to... Does anybody have any comments on the minutes?
Well, God, I've been down here so much I can't remember, you know.
What happened when?
When I was answering phones, and I really, they're too brief to even figure out what was discussed. Oh, yeah.
Prepared to talk about those. I think we need to review those and maybe direct staff to.
Do you want to table these? This?
Let's speak specifically to item A, which is the May 25th meeting. Perhaps we should direct staff to review the tape and to review the minutes to make sure they're accurate.
Well, the May 31st minutes?
May 25th. May 25th. May 31st was our special meeting.
Right.
We're going to discuss the special meeting tonight, right?
Yeah.
Molly's.
Yeah, so we're on 8,
yeah.
Or 5A right now, excuse me.
So you want to table which meeting minutes do you want to table? Oh, you
May
just 25th. Want to table them down the agenda.
No.
It's no. Covered under another report?
No.
Okay.
There was some concern that was raised by staff about the accuracy of the minutes. And I haven't had a chance to review those.
Okay.
And so I was going to try to table those until the next, that would be our June 22nd meeting so that I can review those. Does anybody have a problem with that?
No. I have not.
Okay.
I have a point of order. Are you going to have public comment on this because I put in a request to speak on item 5?
Your request, Ms. Naylor, is for public record request. That's not item 5.
But I forgot to put in item 5. That is related to item 5.
I just received that. Sure, we'll do it after we finish our discussion. Thank you, Ms. Kelly.
Okay. Yeah, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with tabling May 31st minutes.
Okay. May 25th.
May 25th, excuse me.
Okay. Calling item 5B. It's the May 31st, 2011 special meeting. I'll go to public comment first. Giselle Naylor.
Barely keep track of what's going on with this board sitting in the audience. I can't imagine what you folks have to go through, the blizzard of paperwork every week. But on, if I remember correctly, on May 25th, that's when the board members got assigned their committees for the rest of the year. So I would like to make a public records request for a finalized list, because when I was taking notes, I might have made mistakes on who got assigned to what. I just remember Angelo on many committees. I remember Mary Lucy and, directors Hurdle and Lucy on the Finance Committee, an important committee, and Lori Angelo and, was it Bill Searcy? Richard Searcy?
We'll get you a list.
That's an easy one.
The
second thing is the May 31st meeting at which our general manager, Ralph Montemurro, was dismissed. And he was dismissed quickly. He didn't come back the next day, and I had a bunch of public records requests in. The most important one is, and from what I understand from our meeting regarding public records request, I think we're both in agreement, me and your counsel. My understanding of the Ralph Brown Act is that any time a contract is made between a government entity and a private party, that those contracts are a matter of public record and are publicly accessible by the public. So I'm going to be making requests in order to try and figure out how the district is spending its money. As a homeowner, I'm interested, and I think the contracts are a great place to start. For example, what contracts have we entered into with the South County Water Facility? What contracts have we entered into with our new district council? I know that may raise some hackles, but if it's a public contract, then we should be able to see it. And contracts specifically related to the water and sewer pipes that was awarded, I believe, to Director Angelo's son-in-law. That's what somebody told me, that he got the contract to fix the water and sewer pipes that were damaged in the 2003 earthquake.
So you want just clear for the record, a contract that existed in 2003.
Well, until
after
I'm
the
able-
San Simeon earthquake.
You know how
I'll work on it.
How every week you say we're maintaining the water and sewer lines pursuant to this code.
I just wanted to make sure I had the request right.
This is off the agenda, and public records request should be in writing.
So I know.
Thank you.
Should
not be discussion
having. Is there any more public comment on item 5B? Seeing no further public comment, I think our next request was we're going to ask District Legal Counsel Molly Thurman to make a statement about the
outside of a public meeting, and the position was empty. There was nobody in the office, really. The board needed to discuss how to proceed and how to fill that position, how to staff the office in the interim, that's what that meeting was called for. Because the dismissal of Mr. Montemurro was sudden and he did leave right then and there, it left everything kind of in a lurch. And it was decided that it would not be prudent to wait until tonight to have that discussion. That would be 3 more days, 4 days, we can count tomorrow. Things left unattended and without direction as to how to move forward or to proceed toward staffing or replacing the general manager position. And that was the purpose of the meeting. That was the sole discussion. That's what took place.
What date?
Sunday, the 5th.
May 31st was when you got dismissed. If there was another public meeting on June 5th, there was no notice.
Yes. There was notice. So the special meeting on Sunday.
Sorry.
The notice was 24 hours. Special meeting requires 24 hours notice, and it was posted.
On Saturday? It got posted.
No, it was posted, I think, Thursday or Friday.
Friday.
Posted Friday.
Okay.
Monday was the 6th.
Monday was the 6th?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
No, Monday was the 6th.
Yes. Okay. The meeting was on the 5th.
The meeting was the 5th.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Can you be more specific how it was noticed and whether it was on the website?
I don't know whether it was on the website, but I believe that it was posted on the door, as they generally are.
Can I just ask a question? Why do you have a website if you don't post inquiry issues to us?
It is
question.
We try to keep current on our posting as much as possible. As you can see, there's a posting for the interim position. You know, we're, as a small district, we try to post as much information as possible. But thank you for the point.
What time on Friday?
Probably between after 4 and 4:05. Thank you.
Is there any more public comment on item 5B? Moving to agenda items.
Please. It was on the website. I looked it up on the website, actually. Thank you. I checked it on Saturday to see if it was on the website. I found it saying it wasn't. Sorry.
Moving to agenda item number 6, reports. May 2011 report of Commander Ken Conway. I don't see him present. Moving to item agenda item. Actually, is there any public comment on item 6A? Seeing nobody. Moving to item 6B, utility operations lead person reports.
I think I was tasked with that. I've been keeping an eye on the water yard for the last couple of weeks, and it was called out and cleared the problem in about 4.5 hours, and that was on a Sunday. On the tech committee, one of the issues that's being talked at the county and the different people that are on the tech committee is that the transmission line from the water treatment plant to Oceano, a certain section by Rodriguez Bridge in Arroyo Grande has been exposed to some of the heavy rains, and they're talking about ways to and how to cover that back up, and so that's one of the issues on the tech side. The committee is keeping up on the issues that are coming up at the water treatment plant. We do have everybody's probably aware that in the last couple years we've changed the new system at the water treatment plant to what they call a DAF system. And so they're still working with that. They've got it pretty much under control, but there's always certain issues as the different issues come up at the Lopez Lake, ranging from water temperature to algae blooms. There are certain things that have to be done at the water treatment plant to rectify those issues. And then we just wanted to bring up there was about 12 years ago, our particular line from the turnout at Arroyo Grande going down Elm Street to our plant was cleared. And at that particular time, we could only realize about 350 gallons per minute through that line. But then after that was cleared, we were getting about 710 gallons per minute. So that's currently that's how we're monitoring that line and when it needs maintenance and cleaning. So right now we're at 660 gallons per minute, and that's within the last 12 years. So we keep an eye on that, and as it starts to slowly drop down, then we know that we have to go in and do some more maintenance, or what they call pig the line, and it's basically running a big cleaner through the pipe and getting all the selenium and debris. And that is it. We meet on the first Thursday of the month in Arroyo Grande on the technical committee, and I'll try to keep the board abreast of what's happening at the water yard. We were installing meters today, so
That was good. And like I said, we're averaging about 15 meters a day when we're working on them. So,
do you know percentage-wise about how many of the meters have been replaced?
You know, I did ask that question, and I didn't write it down. So, but I understand we've replaced somewhere over 80 of them already. So,
it's going to be a long project.
Tan, and I'm sorry I didn't go through this a little bit more thorough. There's been a lot of things going on lately. Is that we have, it appears to be like prepaying some of our payments. And like I said, I might be speaking out of turn, but on page 10, I mean, the one thing is with the district is we are tight on the cash flow. Can't deny that. But it appears that are we just passing them now and starting them at the beginning of the fiscal year? Because June 31st is the last day of the fiscal year, which is different than a calendar year. We all know what the calendar year is, right? But in a lot of these organizations, there's a fiscal year in it. Ends June 31st and starts July 1st. And so I'm thinking maybe it might have something to do with that. In any case, if the due date is July 1st or 2nd, or then let's try to stick to that right now because we are strapped for cash.
Director Lucy, it's June 30th, the ending of the fiscal year.
That's what I said. What did I say, June 31st?
Yes.
Okay, June 30th is the end of the fiscal year as a day off.
June leap year.
Yeah, June leap year. But point being is that, you know, it just seems odd. And then I look at the one that's a reimbursement for mileage, and it's a month in advance. Is that before you drove the car? Or no, I'm just teasing. Oh, mileage for me. Now, I understand that, but still, remember, we're slow. Well, we're not slow. That'd be right on time. So why is the dates? And I think that we're going to find more and more of these discrepancies or tweaks with the Tyler thing. I feel like the Tyler machine has kind of taken on a life of its own. You know, it's like starting to grow tentacles and stuff.
Which is further down the agenda.
So anyway, because of the cash flow, I'm very concerned about prepaying bills, unless it's the water bill.
Is there any public comment on the warrants? Barbara Mann.
Barbara Mann, Oceano. I was looking at some of those warrants, too, and I noticed for some of the medical premiums that were due, it'll mess up the new audit.
And the more people who grab these packets from the body, it really does help for us, so I'm glad you kind of picked up on that too.
Yeah, I just...
Because sometimes these can be 15 pages, 20 pages, and it's hard to capture everything.
And the other thing I question, of course, I don't know if there's anybody here that could answer it. Well, because you're not experts on Tyler technology yet, but like on the payroll, it just shows a gross, so you don't see the net.
Right.
And I think that is something that the public would want to see, the net payroll per employee. But since it is a public record.
So,
and my other thing is public record requests should just go regularly through the board at the normal time, not taking up our time here requesting public records.
Thank you, Barbara.
Thank you.
And following up on Barbara Mann's comments, that it's true, some of these do say, many of them, especially on page one, well, these pages are, they all say page one.
Pardon me, sir?
Well, I'm looking at this page that starts at the top is Emeritus Life Insurance.
Right.
And it goes to Anthem Blue Cross, First Texas Bank, and they all say due 7-1, and so this is health insurance for June. I think these need to be, I think she's right, the checks need to be dated June, and if they're sent out now, I think they probably are. I mean, we should have an invoice number, and they should be dated already. They're not going to be post-dated checks.
But they can't be dated. They cannot. The books, they can't draw off the fiscal year of 2010, 2011. Those checks need to be dated after July 1st. You have to close that year out at some point, and that's the year we picked. So what you do is get back to the vendor and say, you have to date me an invoice that's due 7/4, 7/5, because we have to close it out or it's not clean. We're, you know,
well, I'm looking
creating
at
more problems. So what I would suggest is that we hold back on, not on payroll, I'm not saying hold back, let's go through this, pick out what we're going to pay tonight and what we're going to rectify. Because paying next year's premiums in this year's budget doesn't make sense.
These, I'm sorry, you done?
No, I'm done.
Okay. These payments, though, they do specify for May 2011, June 2011, June 2011, so that would be this fiscal year. So I think we're okay to authorize the payments. Yes. Even though it says the due date is 7/1, the payment is for May and June of this year on these particular items. Well, if the check is approved, I'm sorry, go ahead.
It looks like the check will be dated July 1, according to
the register here shows the check is dated June 1, 2011.
July 1.
Where I must be looking in the wrong place. Can you show me, Director?
Check, really check.
Is there any more public comment? Is there a motion? To page 11.
Something's not right.
There's a reimbursement to Rafael Montemurro. I'd like to see an invoice on that before that's paid. And there's also a travel claim for Alma Diaz. I would like to see a invoice for that or a travel claim sheet before that is paid. Elizabeth Ray, public comment?
Is there any way, because we never got a real verification of what finances we really had at the last of the meetings that I knew of, and if we could have that up to date now that we're kind of on ground zero, it would just be nice to have in the next meeting, if possible. Thank you.
Thank you. This is my concern, is that I know that there have been deposits made throughout the week, and I'm not sure they're reflective in the total of what is available, 248, and the regular disbursements are 220, and that includes our state water project. And that's why it's high, because we're paying our water bill. And so I'm a little reluctant. I know they have to be pushed through, right? But, and I know that the it's there. I just am, when this, the bottom line is bigger than the line above it, it worries me.
So we'll have it at the next meeting.
But there's, see, there's well, payroll
only showing,
and everything
it's only showing right. Deposits through 527.
Yeah, right.
And so the deposits between then and now is not reflected here.
We do have the billings have started coming in between June 1st and now. And we do actually have an amount on that. I think, Rick, I think you have my paperwork.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. Actually, Carol Ann.
We just grab each other's paper.
Yeah, it was right there.
Carol Ann, do you have the amount of the deposits thus far for the month of June?
Uh-huh. That does not mean my savings account or my CDs or money projected that may come to me. I'm talking about what is our cash flow. And if there is a possible way, I mean, I know this is big and there's a mess there, but
speak up, please.
To actually have it, you know, this is what we have in savings, this is what we don't want to touch, or this is what we're not going to touch for 3 to 9 months. This is our projected taxes coming into us, which will be revenue, but we don't have it in our hand, and this is at hand. Just that simple. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And we all agree with you. Yeah. It's Elizabeth, right?
Yeah.
And we agree with you, Elizabeth. You know, it's just that, you know, that there's been fluctuation in the district and the staff, and so, you know, the board's been very on hands, actively involved on figuring out what is the true picture, you know, and so, and we're all dealing with about 4 different pieces of paper, you know, and so which ones are duplications, which ones have the wrong dates on them, you know, and to be honest with you, we're dancing as fast as we can and paying close attention, you know, that this is the public's money, being as transparent as we possibly can without breaching people's confidentiality, making sure that, you know, private records are kept private at all expense, you know. So I know I can speak, you know, for the board is that, you know, we're all working very hard to get Oceano, because we're all part of the same thing, you know, to get it in. And I also know, too, is that, you know, while we're on the finances, that Thelma and I had the finance committee posted. It was on the internet posted. It was on the front door posted, you know. And we're looking for the community to help build a budget that's reflective of what we financially have, you know. And you know, it was, you know, Thelma and I there, you know. So you have a lot of knowledge. We'd really enjoy your participation in building that. Because it's all our dollars, you know. But can I tell you exactly how much is in the bank right now? I can't do that. Not honestly.
I'd like to add that the fiduciary responsibility that the board has to the district is the most important obligation for us to meet. And we are working diligently to get the answers to the questions that you are asking. We're working under tremendous pressure to get this done. And what I would like to ask, even though I know patience is worn, but just give us some time, because we are working to get these answers. We want them to. Thank you.
Yeah. And we welcome people's help.
And yeah, I hear you. And I will pay attention to that.
Yeah.
We're looking at
where
we
connect. Yeah.
I think it bears noting that in this kind of time of crisis, that there's been at least one board member here trying to do what we can do. If it's answering phones or finding paperwork, secure the facility, we're doing what we can. We're opening it, we're closing it, we're making, you know, phone calls, we're subbing, and my first day of subbing, I was in with a bunch of 7th and 8th graders, and it was wild. It kind of looked like an OCSD meeting. And I went to school that night for the credential program, and this guy looked at me and said, "You subbed today, didn't you?" And he could tell looking at me, and I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "There's only three things you need to know to be a sub. And the first is get control of your classroom. The second one is take role. And the third thing you need to do is move on with the lesson plan." And I think that applies here. The first thing we need to do is take control of the district, and that's what's happening right now. It's been out of control, and we are getting control of the district right now. The second thing that will happen is we are going to take stock, and we are going to take stock of our finances, our needs as a community, our needs as a district, and then we're going to execute. And I think that's the plan. So.
Giselle? Just one thing. I remember back when Jim Hill was still on the board.
Ms. Taylor, can you speak at the mic?
Back when Jim Hill was still on the board, I remember there were some numbers in one of the agenda packets because they were talking about how are we going to raise money and how is the district going to pay for its bills, and we've got this cutoff date coming on June 30th. So I think there are some working numbers that are kind of back around that time. It might have been September when they were talking about what are we going to do when June rolls around. But I think it's going to work out.
Thank you, Giselle.
So do we.
Thank you.
And we're all hopeful. I think we're unified in that. So, you know, back to the warrants. My concern are the two payments. I think it's 1700 and 1692, L-1700 and L-1692, which are on page 11. Does anybody else have any other concerns?
Yeah, I actually did have a concern about on page 1, and this is in the payroll section, mm-hmm. is 1 and 2. So I'd be okay with holding. What page were those on? 11?
11.
11 and under payroll 1 and 2 until we make sure that those are accurate figures for that purpose. I just want to make sure that they're factual, accurate. Are we confident that that timesheet was accurate on the second line? Is what my that's really
just that one, the timesheet. I'm sorry, I know it's the salary.
Yeah, it's the timesheet reporting. And when we go to take a break, or if somebody has the timesheets, I could just take a quick look. No, not this one. Not line 2 for 1423.64.
I did.
You think they're
That's the problem. If you're going to get in a he said, she said situation, you can't just hold it. If they've signed off properly in the normal course. Hmm.
All right.
You know, I've reviewed the time cards. They all say for this individual 80 hours, whether it's a mix of regular pay or vacation or sick time, and you know the question is whether or not this person actually worked 80 hours. I think is the question.
Right. Probably something more appropriate for an audit type thing than just hold the paycheck. And it's not an isolated incident if that's the case. So it would be a
I believe so.
An audit. I can't just hold on to someone's paycheck and not pay them.
Right. Go ahead.
Okay, well, I'll make a motion then to approve the disbursements, excluding the two items on page 11. And that would be the reimbursement.
the reimbursements of what is it? Total of 39.09, and they and then the travel of 68.21 until that can be verified.
I'll second that motion. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Passes 4-0. It's about 7:45. Do you want to take a seven? We have a 7-minute break agendized.
Sure.
Please.
Okay. Let's make a motion for a 7-minute break.
I move that we take a 7-minute break.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
At 7:45, we'll adjourn at 7:52. We could call this meeting back to order. Moving to item 8B, 2011 fireworks applications. Church of God of Prophecy, Boys and Girls Club of Oceano, Five Cities Roller Kitties, FOE of Eagles Lodge number 4153, and Anchor of Faith Apostolic Church. Is there any public comment? I see I have a from Steve Kunkenbeard. Comment on item 8B. And I apologize. I called Moises earlier, and I had miscalled him. But Ms. Thurman, do you have any comments about the applications?
The Eagles Lodge, I noticed there's no California seller's permit attached.
We're waiting to get that now. The bill has been paid for that. The funds were sent in, and we're waiting to receive it back from the state. We haven't gotten it yet.
Okay, so you have to have one of those.
Yes, ma'am.
And the Anchor Faith Apostolic Church, there's no seller's permit and no fire marshal approval. Is anyone here for that?
Yes. I'm working together with Arden Harbath, I think is his name, out of Fresno, and we already have one. We have the resale number. My name is Rudy Renteria from the Anchor Faith Church.
Okay. Do you have that?
Something came in today.
Okay. And the fire marshal approval?
Yes.
I saw there's an application, but no fire marshal approval. Do you have that?
Yes.
Where is it?
That has already been granted through TNT.
Do you have something that looks like this?
When the fireman comes out and looks at your site.
I don't have that in my possession, but I will have it.
The applications are not complete until the seller's permit and the fire marshal. So, just my only comment.
Those things were missing from those two.
Okay. So, we need to put a timeline.
I believe the item before us tonight is to approve the different groups that would be allowed to sell. And would it be possible that if the applicants that are drawn tonight be a contingent to where they have all of their paperwork prior to any sales?
Well, can I make a friendly amendment.
Okay.
We had talked about not having too many stands because then nobody makes anything off the sales. And so we had discussed limiting the number of certificates that or slots, permits that we were going to allow in the past. And I think we agreed on, it was either three, I think it was a maximum of three, but it wasn't more than four, I know that. So if we could go through these separately, because I'm in favor of, just to put it out there, four of them, but not all five of them. And yeah. So I think we should put a timeline on the...
I don't know if we have the time limit, that we could readjust that and make another motion that we limit it to three.
No, I'm fine with four. I'm fine with four. We have five applicants in front of us.
Right.
So I'm fine with four slots. I'm just saying the other two, we should put a timeline on getting those supporting documents. And if they don't get the documents, then it defaults back to the one that wasn't recommended. That's just a thought. Or we just move forward.
So if we're going to approve four, we have five applications. We could do a lottery, and whoever comes up first doesn't.
No.
Well, I think our last discussion was that we kind of looked at these applicants on the merit of what they did with their proceeds towards the community. And, I'll just be kind of frank with the group coming out of Fresno. I don't know what they've really done in the community, except that they say that they're going to come to town and spend some money.
I kind of felt the same way.
So I mean, I feel unless there's more public comment, then.
You'll get it to us, right, Rudy?
Yes, I will have it for you.
Pastor Rudy,
not
I'm
tomorrow.
Sorry.
Yes, Pastor Rudy. Not tomorrow, before Friday. By
okay.
Friday, at least.
Okay.
I'm very
And
positive.
If you need to know the steps, right, you know, you can always call the office, or you could call right over to the fire department, and the guys over there will help you get your permit. The inspection real quick.
I will be contacting you.
And I know the Eagles will come through.
Thank you.
They're trained in this area. Which I... Yeah, you've been doing it for a while. So I have a motion if we want to do that. Or, because I don't like the lottery part.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
Can I make a motion that we agree to adopt allow four vendors to sell fireworks in the area, nonprofit organizations. I'd like to move that we accept the Church of God of Prophecy, the Anchor of Faith of Apostolic Church.
Apostolic.
Sorry. Five Cities Eagles, and the Boys and Girls Club of the South San Luis Obispo County.
And is that contingent on all the paperwork submitted prior to any sales of fireworks?
Upon review from our legal counsel.
Sorry, what was this?
You looked at all these and found that they were in compliance except for those two missing pieces, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Passes by.
Is that all right?
Well, I think it was contingent to have all your paperwork in order prior to any sales of fireworks.
Okay.
But the sooner you can get it over to us so our records are completed.
I'm going to do it tomorrow. I'm gonna go down and jump on the guy if I have to.
No, don't jump on him. Okay. Just get the permit.
Thank you, sir. Moving on to item 8C, discussion of general manager position.
He might be a surprise.
Ms. Thurman, how would you recommend we present this first?
Public comment.
Should we do public comment first, or should we announce
the general manager?
Okay. It's calling for public comment. I do have a request for public comment from Elizabeth Ray.
I do have the old Oceano Community Water District general manager list for job services. One thing that, you know, there were quite a few things that were missing in our old general manager.
What's the date on that?
The date
I'm
on
sorry.
This, yeah, no problem. It is, doesn't have one. It says district office consists of 36 employees, 13.
Yeah, that's an old one.
Is it?
That was when the fire department was.
Okay.
The most current one is not that one.
Okay.
And it's being modified.
And I think it does need to be modified. I mean, greatly, greatly. And I also, I commend each one of you guys for stepping up, stepping in, stepping over and above and beyond on your own jobs. I cannot imagine the pressure that's involved in this now. I do have a couple of requests when you're thinking about putting it together. Is one of them is, I don't think we should call them general, for one thing, because that was one of my major problems with the one we did have. I do think they need honor and respect, and I think that is a very, and being having good dignity and qualities of that matter, not only accounting ability, but they should be able to have persona that serves, not prestige that's so high that they're not interacting with the public, and it's not a private club. What it is an open job for all. In your guys' just for your own relief situations, people can make appointments. You don't have to be there in that office at every given minute. You have full secretary staff being paid very well for their jobs as well until they're gone or there or stay, but people can make appointments at the OCD, and they can remember that. They don't just come in and wham until things are put together properly, and there could be an announcement on the door for your own reliefs, you know, for your own reliefs. And please don't make us pay the same amount of money for that job title, please. And if somebody does a good job, they should be paid well for a job. But in this job market,
the new person that's coming in, actually she's an old person. What I understand is Cindy Winters.
No.
Oh, okay. Well, on Monday, that's who was, you know, brought in on a temporary basis in order to take over or handle general manager questions, I guess. But what I wanted to say is it's hard not to talk about this position without talking about public records, because Mr. Montemuro was in the process of producing public records related to the district's finances and, you know, previous records related to what things cost. And his contract, when we're talking about the cost of the salary of the general manager, one reason why I've asked for contracts of people is because the question arises if, for example, the general manager charges beyond, he's asking for money beyond what his contract states, then whether the money that he's paid extra, whether that's appropriate or not, is going to depend a lot on how that contract is worded. I mean, does he get a salary, and no matter how much he works, it's always the same price? Or how does that work? And if he's being dismissed and, you know, his payments to himself are inappropriate, then that falls within the public's purview. They've got a right to ask and find out, hey, what's going on with that? If the gossip in the community is that he overpaid himself for his time, then there ought to be also a way to really get to the facts. Is that true? Is that not true? Or is it just being interpreted in a certain way? That's all I'm going to say.
Thank you, Ms. Naylor. Is there any other public comment on 8C? Hearing none, is there any board comment, or should we ask Ms. Thurman?
Molly, speak in the mic.
I don't think that the finalization of the agreement with Mr. Montemurro is properly agendized for this meeting, even with a broad interpretation of general manager position. And I would like to get it finalized. So, and I understand that some other personnel issues came up today, kind of a borderline emergency situation. So I'm thinking we probably should schedule a special meeting for those and to finalize the agreement with Mr. Montemurro, which requires board approval, so we can move on to the general manager, you know, replacing and filling that position.
So you're on the agenda. I'm sorry, Vice President. I'm not clear on what.
I have reached a tentative agreement with Mr. Montemurro. It needs board approval.
Okay, and then we can discuss. Then we can go on to discuss the topic. Is that what you're saying?
The cause that was left up in the air.
Uh-huh.
I have discussed it with Mr. Montemurro, and we have come to an agreement which does need approval from the board. It's kind of in between, and that does need to be done before we can move forward with other general manager issues. So perhaps we can do that here. Perhaps it does fall under the agenda. It's pretty broad.
Yeah, it's very broad.
Very
but
broad.
Could it fall under? No, don't want to do it there. Sorry, I take that back.
Well, I kind of at this point, I think it kind of behooves the board to do whatever it's going to take for us to continue to go forward, and if it means special meeting or an emergency meeting or what any kind of meeting, I think we should step up and do that. If it needs to be noticed, 24 hours or 72 hours, whatever the time limit is, I think that should be posted. We should get it on the internet as soon as possible, and take that take action on it, and so that we can, because we are kind of at the point where we do need to take some action as far as the general manager, and that is going to be a process, and I think we all would like to be able to see, a good field of applicants that we can choose from, and and discuss. I mean, I noticed just in the last week we've been talking, what's next, and everybody has some good ideas, and I think we as a board should come together so we can hear them all together, and at least acknowledge those. And
I agree, and that action, that discussion can take place. That clearly falls within this agenda item. It's just the approval of the Mr. Montemurro's just finalizing that, his final compensation.
Right.
But didn't we just did approve his warrant tonight?
No, it's just on the next agenda.
Pardon me?
Can it be put on the next agenda, or does it need to be done before that?
It doesn't need to be done. In discussing it with him, it was anticipated it would be brought to the board tonight. It's probably not absolutely critical that it be done.
I mean, I hate to disappoint the public, but that's probably then, if it's misagendized, we should probably have it on for the 22nd. I don't, except for this other personnel issue that's come up, I don't see the need for a special meeting.
Okay, and then it was because of this personnel. If we need to do something on the personnel issue, we could fit it into that special meeting.
Right.
Otherwise, it can wait till the 22nd.
Okay. What's the board's pleasure?
I would like to see us move ahead with a special meeting for the sake of time. We shouldn't prolong this. I think we should get it done and let the public know where we stand with it and go on and set the requirements and what we're going to be looking for in a general manager. And
I think Pastor Rudy is setting off fireworks.
Yeah, he just hit my ear really weird. But the qualifications are slightly different than the regular that it has been in the past. But also, too, is that some of the more time-sensitive pressing issues like the outstanding audits have kind of taken over this particular job description. The finances and audits, late audits, and then also too is trying to get a clear understanding of our consultants, engineers, subcontractors, and such, so we could build a budget. So that's why this announcement looks different than the general manager's job description. I just want to do a little brief on that.
Sure. I think that in our discussion that we had, at one of the meetings we've had this week, it was decided, or we suggested, that we might look at a general manager that had more specific requirements to our needs in Oceano. And it is felt that some type of engineering background would be very good, and some experience in accounting. And those are very high on my list. And I agree with you too, Elizabeth. I think it should be somebody who is approachable and that understands that they are working for the district and more open. These things are very important for the district in order for us to have a vote of confidence in what is taking place in the district. And so I would like to, you know, really see some candidates. To me, this would be a strong candidate, somebody that could come in with some engineering / accounting or accounting / engineering, and that is just very... Actually, I'd like to see somebody come in and look at this as a challenge, a personal challenge, because when people are challenged, they tend to do very well. And you know, it's no secret that we have issues that need to be handled by somebody that could want to commit the time to making something right. And so those are what I'm looking for in a candidate, and we're going to try to specify that as best we can in the announcements in order to get... a good fit for Oceano.
I agree with that, and during some of our discussions too, in this last week, one of the ideas is, possibly a new graduate, from Cal Poly. I think that could address some of the issues that the community is already raising, of how much money should we actually pay this person, and I think that you can get a qualified person, that's...
Plus then I think another two more or three more can.
Okay. So a total of six right now? Okay.
Good. Glad to see that there's this interest in coming in and helping Elciano out.
Yeah. I don't know if it'd be worth us right now to kind of maybe solicit Cal Poly or even UCSB or...
Well, they're probably graduating next week, so we may get more yeah. applications.
Too fresh.
Yeah.
In addition, we also discussed that during the interview process, we think it would be a very complete board or oral examination or interview if we had someone from the public part of the panel, and that we're going to do. So I'm looking forward to this interview, this whole interview process. I think it's going to be a great thing, and I'm hoping for really good applicants, and we can get somebody in here that can really do the job that we need and that the residents of Oceano deserve.
And for those who weren't here on Sunday, what it is the letters of interest need to be in by the 16th of June. That's next next Thursday. On the 17th of June, a personnel committee is going to be held. That's going to be myself and Lori Angelo. And on that, at that time, we are going to select the top up to 8 people that we want to interview. I want to make up to 8, but I want to make a motion that between the two of us, when we're reviewing applications, that it be unanimous between the two of us before they be presented to the board, because we may only end up with 2 or 3 people that are actually would receive a unanimous vote at the personnel meeting. They will be scheduled for telephone interviews over the 20th and 21st of June with myself and Ms. Angelo, those who we decide to do a telephone interview with. And then on the 22nd, the applicants that make it through that initial screening process will be brought in for a full board interview. And I think this is where we're welcoming the public to be involved in that decision-making process. And if the public, if anybody wants to let Carol Ann Pardo know at the district that you're interested in being involved in that, we would appreciate that. We also would appreciate any standard questions that you think should be asked of each and every applicant. Hold on a second, Ms. Naylor. And so that we can do that, we do anticipate appointing somebody on the evening of the 22nd. And so we see that as a vital part of the process of getting control of this district, is getting a nice, strong interim general manager who will then also be able to apply for the general manager's position. And the thing that we did not want to run into was a situation where we get a really good general manager that's unable to be hired. We want to allow them to be willing and able to apply for the job.
Oh, I was just going to say that's the interim position.
Yeah. And Matt, in that motion of...
You got to speak on the mic, cause otherwise the TVs can't hear you either. In the little donut.
It's on.
I've been
trained.
In the
cone of silence.
It's on. The discussion and decision when you're actually interviewing and discussing and making a decision should be in closed session, and the public, there are no semi-closed sessions.
How do we involve the public? By asking for standardized questions, maybe?
Yeah, or having, if you have the time, have an open, like we did with the board members, you know, have applicants before you narrow it down even, you know, have some applicants come. Questions and have the public be involved in that.
If we do that before we narrow it down, we might have 27 people here.
Well, that's true.
For an interim position, for the permanent.
The discussion and action should be in closed session.
Okay.
At that final place. To, if there's steps before that that the public can be involved with and participate, that would be great. If you could figure out how to do that. And questions is a way to do that.
Okay, so maybe if we solicited questions from the public.
Yeah, and their interests and what they would like to see. We've heard lots of things about what they would like to see, features or characteristics or skills or experience they'd like to, you know, have incorporated into that position. It'd be helpful.
Ms. White?
Yes, Karen Whitehouse again. You're going to all this trouble to hire an interim manager, but then you're going to come back later and hire a new manager?
Well,
I don't understand. I don't understand the process. I mean, always before you've just gone out and hired an interim manager, some of them who did a pretty good job, I might note, and then while you were seeking a full-time manager, I just don't understand your process. It seems kind of convoluted. I realize you only have a couple of weeks, but mm-hmm. Thank you.
And that's the reason, is we only have a couple of weeks, and we're trying to, keep the boat upright. So we keep the keel under the boat. So.
And I think, too, is that everybody's so conscientious of transparency, you know, to go into a session and arbitrarily select the you know, general manager, you know, it's not very inclusive of the community. So that's, I think, that we're kind of tiptoeing around that. Yeah, I'd love to take those applications and just go through them and sit down, get them on the phone. Okay, you can do this, this, this. Great, see you then. You know, I mean, that would ideally be the quickest, fastest way with a timeline this short on an interim. But, and that's why we went with an interim versus a permanent, because, you know, there's a lot of legal steps that have to be taken for a permanent placement in a public position, especially properly advertising. Interim, you can be appointment. So if the community was fine with saying, yes, as a board, pick your interim, because that's really what we want to do is move forward. But we're trying to figure out, like, how to do it in a public way. And so bringing them to the board and then selecting that night is about as public as we can think of to do it.
Best not to do the knee-jerk reaction to getting someone in here. I think that we should really take our time and make sure that we have someone that really can do what we need them to do. And it gives us time to set our criteria. It gives us time to get the input from the public. And when we open up and start this interview process, based on the qualifications that we put out there collectively, we can feel pretty much assured that we will get somebody that we, as a community, really needs as well as want to have here.
I have a request for public comment from Giselle Naylor.
Because it's expensive, everybody knows. Every time we change, it gets more expensive in the training and everything. And, you know, but if it's not a fit, it's not a fit, you know. So, you know, we're just trying to do what everybody, I know that everybody wants the same thing. It's just, how do we go about doing it?
I've got a suggestion.
I'm not buying you a new hot water heater.
I need somebody big and strong to help lift that thing.
I'm feeling very strong
closet,
right now either.
The water heater closet. But what I was going to say is filling out an application, that's part of the selection process. Having the interview, that's part of the selection process. But to really make a decision, I think you should, and to also make things public, you might also have some kind of assignment for the applicants, because you want to know, can they really work on your equipment, or what programs are they familiar with? If they're going to have engineering background, can they really design a schematic of, you know, sewer and water pipes or whatever? So I think there should be some kind of open-ended question, and the public can either view it online or they can come in and find out, well, what aspect of this is being distributed to anybody that is interested in applying, and see what they come back with on their own. Throw out an open-ended kind of scenario. And you could even give them a project that concerns, like, accounting that has not been done, that might take 8 hours to finish. We need to get this done. Here are our, you could even give them real facts. We have to have this put in a spreadsheet format. We have to have it totaled. And we have to figure out, you know, who gets paid what or what the expenses are. I mean, something that, and have people that have already worked with the bookkeeping, like Cindy Winter. She worked here before she retired for many years. Have her kind of get together with you and maybe come up with a scenario, and then add that, and the public could access their responses. That might be one aspect of making it public.
Thank you, Ms. Naylor.
Just maybe going back to the the person at large.
A special meeting? Or unanimous?
Unanimous decision in that process. And also, I'm in agreement with the special meeting with Thelma. So
let's go to the first one. There was a motion made to that the personnel. There was a motion made that when the personnel committee meets on the 17th, and the applications are gone through, that it be unanimous between the two members on the personnel committee to go to the next for the telephone interviews, and then to be recommended to the board for the 22nd.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Passes by unanimous vote.
So that means that we're going to bring candidates forward to the board meeting on the 22nd. This is the interim. These are the people who are supposed to hit the ground running. And that's a really quick turnaround. And then we'll keep working on the job description and the title in it. But remember, the 22nd is really an important meeting.
We hope everyone will be here. The next issue was whether or not we're going to have a special meeting, and there's we need to do them both at the same time. The two issues: one is the personnel issue, and the second one is discussion of the general manager that we discussed. I cannot do Friday because I have a graduation of my niece, but I don't know if there could still be three or other people here.
I have a wedding on the weekend of the 25th.
Well, this is the weekend of the 11th, so.
You're all, Friday doesn't work for you.
Friday does not work for me unless it's early mid-afternoon.
Okay.
But I know a lot of people work, and I want them to have the opportunity to come if they're interested in coming to this meeting on the Friday.
Because of the nature of the personnel issue, I think we should sooner rather than later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
And I could do 1:30 on Friday. If I don't know if that's available for the rest of the board.
That's good.
Yeah, that's okay. Fine with me.
Yeah, that's fine.
So
1:30 on Friday the 17th?
So,
Excuse me.
This Friday the 10th.
1:30.
And we'll get an agenda out first thing in the morning.
That'll be in 2 days.
That'll be a 48-hour notice.
Almost. 36.
36.
No,
okay. No.
24. We'll get out first thing tomorrow morning. It's more than 24 hours.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what counts.
Special meeting.
It's going to be a special meeting. Personnel.
We could just continue this meeting to the next meeting and not even have a special meeting.
Well, we'd love to do that.
Trust. Not agenda. We need to get the agenda straight.
Do we need a motion?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'll so move.
I'll second.
Okay. And then...
we got to vote.
All in favor?
All in favor.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed?
Okay.
Motion passes by vote of 4-0.
And then I'd just like to maybe get a consensus from the board to solicit the public for their input in writing by the 22nd for the...
For the questions. Actually, I would ask that those look to put those in either in the suggestion box that's up on the front counter, or to email those to the district. And what's the email address that they should use?
office@oshawacsd.org.
Okay. And that would be emailed to office.
Turn on.
At Oceano.
oshawacsd.org.
Okay. With that, I think that ends our discussion of 8C. Moving our discussion to 8D, discussion January 2011, a letter from Tyler Technology to OCSD regarding whether accounting information is in compliance with generally accepted accounting principles. Recommendation: seek RFP for audit by accounting professionals. Direct staff to contact Tyler Technologies and request copies of correspondence between OCSD and Tyler Technologies. I have two requests for public comment. The first one is Kathy Young.
Actually, this might have partially gone under the last one, too.
I guess everybody who's read this is pretty disturbed to think that this was known in January and approved by a board member and nobody else knew about it, because I think it would have saved us a lot of money. We could have ousted Mr. Montemuro back in January. You know, in January also, Sharon Nakaragi pointed out the things that were going wrong, and she also came to a board meeting and stated all the things that was happening and was going wrong. In January, I did some extensive research on the computer about Mr. Montemuro and gave this information to board members. And, I mean, I appreciate that you're all going together now, but this was ignored for 5 months. And I think if I hadn't sent this to the newspapers, it might never have come out. So I just don't understand why this was ignored for 5 months, his behaviors and the things that were going on. And I think it would have, I mean, it's costing us money for special meetings. I'm just hoping the lesson has finally been learned, though this seems the fifth general manager we've had now. And maybe this is finally the time that everybody comes together and really learns and hires somebody good. But it really is disappointing to think we waited so long. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Young. I have another request for public comment. Elizabeth Ray.
I just have one more comment on the Tyler Technologies. I don't know if we're still under contract with them. Are we?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And since we are, is there any chance that they're coming in to help service these computers at this point and retrieve any documentation that may have been lost through any of these years of information?
I can speak to that. Do you have any other public comment?
That's it. That's really what I wanted to know.
It's part of my board comment.
I'll
talk to that. Okay. If I don't address it, you can come back.
Okay. Thank you.
Is there any board comment?
Go ahead.
On this issue. When this letter came to light, I got a copy of it, and the reason that it was brought forward was there's something in here that jumps out at you, and it's...
doesn't affect the years that we're working on right now.
That's correct. It does not affect the prior years.
This will not affect what we're doing right now.
Now, this is correct. The Tyler Technology information, as I understand it, it only has 2011 data in it. It does not have 2008. It does not have 2009. That data is still in the AS400. The AS400 is still here. And I have spoken with Elvin Cordaire, who's the Vice President of Implementation, whose name is on this letter. And he advised me that they are going to assist Oceano however they can. And what I want to see this board do, and what my proposal or my motion is going to be once we finish discussion, is Sharon Nakarati has been contacted.
Yes.
She is coming back in and is, my understanding, agreed to.
She's been here.
And has agreed to help us. We can get the old information, 2008, 9, 10, 11, that's in this machine. We can get it out of the AS400. Tyler Technologies, my understanding, can convert this information and get it into our new system and get our system up and running and functional. What Elvin Cordaire specifically told me, and he has my cell phone number and has been calling, and what he has specifically told me is that they want us to be happy customers.
Yeah. And also, too, is I think the key questions here is authenticate, validate, and verify. And so look what we already have in place, and this will not impact us till fiscal year 11 after 12 is closed. So we already have Harold. We've had Harold on. Harold is doing all three of these things. He's backing up this data. He's verifying it. He's authenticating it. So we have Harold Wright. You know, we have the audits that are coming in, the Moss-Levy audits. This is going to impact us in 2 years. If we're not able to authenticate what comes in the door, what goes out the door, validate it and verify it by that in 2 years, then we need more help than I thought.
you know, because there is a lot of ways that we're already doing this. Now, how I read it right was, somebody was in over their head, or somebody was on vacation for a very long time and didn't pass these, because what they're requesting is super elementary fiscal stuff. I mean, account balances, how many vendors we have, I mean, you know, accounts payable, that's all stuff that's been kept for years and years. So either we had a hole in the staffing and somebody didn't know what they were doing to get it, or I don't know. But that's how I read it, was those three areas of concern. You know, since it's so far down the road and every week we put more and more controls in place in here, I would have signed it too, because it's not impacting our audits or slowing us down at this point. So
would you like for me, excuse me, to give my report now? Yes. Because it kind of tags onto this.
Which one?
The finance report with the audits. I met with the auditors.
Because this is a different year.
We do have another request for public comment.
Okay. It's a different year.
We have a request for public comment, Giselle Naylor.
This is exactly the type of scenario you should be posing to your new applicants, because the words that Ms. Lucy mentioned, authenticate, validate, and verify, can be done by computer program depending on what type of program you're using. Mm-hmm. And so to ask your applicants, how would you authenticate, validate, and verify, and what computer programs are you familiar with using, that's an excellent accounting question. And I forgot what I was going to say about the other stuff. With
Thank
respect
you.
To Tyler Technology, how many more minutes do I have?
About two and a half.
You should let us know that.
Okay. With respect to Tyler Technology, I'm not familiar with their system, and if there's anything that you can tell us about the letter that was mentioned by Kathy Young, there somehow I'm not sure what she's talking about, what information came to light, or what needs to, you know, what still needs to be done. If you could speak a little bit more to that, because
I don't know
it
either.
Sounds like there's some discovery that was brought to the board and the board didn't acknowledge it, and I'm kind of, let's hear more about
The letter that I think Ms. Young was talking about is this letter that's in the agenda packet that is on the website, Ms. Naylor. This was discovered I think June 1st or June 2nd.
Yeah.
That's when it was discovered. You know, it speaks for itself, and it, you know, alerts us that we need to take action, and that's what we're trying to do, is take some swift and decisive action and keep this district moving forward.
I will say that there are times when some of the links accessing the agenda packets don't work, and I'm not sure what causes that, but that's just something that I thought of.
I don't know either. Thank you. Yes.
I didn't fill out a slip. Shirley Gibson, Halcyon. I still would like further information what happened with Tyler Technologies after this letter, if there is any further correspondence. Mr. Montemurro single-sourced this, and I think there's more to the story that needs to be exposed to the rest of us.
I authored a letter last week on Thursday or Friday over the phone for Carol Ann Pardo, requesting all correspondence between Tyler Technologies and the OCSD. We have not received that back yet. I know that there is more correspondence, but we don't have it yet, and we have requested it.
And did they say they had tapes, phone conversation tapes?
They did reference a phone log or a phone. I took it as a phone log where somebody had typed somebody had typed in referencing a phone conversation with Mr. Montemurro. But that was, they only mentioned one, and I'm sure there's more than that. Is there any other board comment? And so with that, I think that directing staff to contact Tyler Technologies, I've already done that. Mm-hmm. And as far as the request for proposals for audit by accounting professionals, I think that's probably premature. I think what we need to do is request that Ms. Nakarati help get the information out of the system so that we can give it to Tyler so that they can convert it and we can finally, a year later, get what we're paying for. And so I think that's already underway. And so we probably...
And I would... I don't know... I'm like... Thelma wanted to report on finance, but I actually wanted to report on where Sharon was on this.
Please do.
Oh, okay. Sharon has come back on to help us with the 400, and she did print out the final... close out of, I'm afraid to say which years, because 08, 09 is already there, right?
So it must be 09 or 10.
So the final report for 9 and 10 was printed out from the AS. What day was it? Yesterday. So that was the main thing that the auditors were saying, that the reason why they couldn't start 10 and 11, no, 9 and 10. Was because they didn't have the final report, and Sharon did come in. She's back on board with us, and Thelma will do the finance report. But that's good news for all of us. So she's really great to work with too. She really is.
And this has all come to light in the last week, and so here we are, you know, trying to put out fires. And get things moving like they should be. So with that, I don't think there's any action to take at this point other than we'll continue to monitor it. Should we put it on for the agenda on the 22nd and for progress?
Yes.
Or
we could put it under the Finance Committee.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Okay.
Agenda.
We could put it under reports.
Well, we'll get a report from the Finance Committee on the 22nd on this issue.
Yeah.
Moving to number 9, that was tabled. 8E was removed from the calendar. Item number 10, report of district representatives. Director Angelo is not here tonight, or excuse me, President Angelo is not here tonight. Moving to 10B, Director Lucy.
I did notice that Zone 11A had been applying for a permit that you keep in the file, so when there's flooding and stuff, they have a permit that they can go in and clean the waterways and stuff like that, and it's only used in a time of emergency and stuff. And that comes from the Coastal Commission. And so I think they're getting ready to take their – they're going to get it. So next time there's flooding off the Arroyo Grande Creek, they're going to have a permit in the file, and they won't have to wait for them to issue their blessing. So that's very, very good under the Zone 11A. I met with the supervisor last week, Supervisor Teixeira. We'll talk about that later, but he is very... fond of our area, and I think that's nice, and his aide is really a great lady. I spoke with her at length, and so I feel that we have, if we work it, you know, that we could build a very strong, tight relationship with the supervisor's office, and I think that is of utmost importance. In going through the stacks, there a notice for PEG funds has come in. So everybody kind of perks a little bit. So the application is there. I wanted the board, we should, I definitely think we should apply for the funds. We qualify for them. And so I wanted permission to get a hold of the county and get the
qualifications as to their definition of program. You know, it won't pay for filming and stuff like that, but it'll pay for programs. Okay, so what kind of programs? But it doesn't look like a complicated application process whatsoever. And I just want to know if the application has to be tied to communication or not. So that's another thing. I co-chaired the finance committee with Feldman. I'll leave that to you.
Okay. You want me to go now?
Please, sorry.
No.
Go ahead.
I met last week with Mr. Levy and the head auditor that's been in charge of our audit for 2009-2010. They explained to me part of the delay with the audit. There was an initial contact by the district, and then nothing. And when they did finally hear from the district and the initial documentation received by them, it was during the height of tax season, and the district representative was told that they could not begin the audit until after they finished their tax season. And so there was a delay from the beginning. And unfortunately, there are still documents that the auditors need to complete this project. And Mary Lucy and I, as the Finance Committee, have authorized and instructed Harold Wright, who has been working to prepare the audit information, to work until completion, till these documents are done, till they're found and the information is given to this office, to Mr. Levy. And one of the things that was really encouraging to me is that their office is very competent in Mr. Wright's work, and feel very good about the information that they've received. And if we can get this information to them in a timely manner, we will have this audit completed by the end of the month, and that is what I am pressing for, that we get this closed out, it will be done, and staff is working in that direction. And I feel very, very good about that. And while I'm making this report, I'll just go ahead and finish my advisory committee issues. And when I, the last meeting I attended with the Oceano Advisory Committee, we were working on a cleanup, a district-wide cleanup to take place in the fall. And we're very excited about that. And we have some ideas that we're working on that will take place prior to that. But really working to get it cleaned up, get the town cleaned up, get the district cleaned and Sprite and, you know. When was the last time we had this kind of cleanup, Barbara?
10 years ago.
That's what I thought. So it's going to be a major project, and anybody who is interested in joining us with the with this project, please come. Our next meeting is, what, on the 17th? The 20th.
No,
the third Monday. Okay. 13th, isn't it? The 20th. It would be the 20th. Yeah, the 20th of June.
Yeah, at 3:30 in the afternoon in the Sheriff's Substation.
Yes. So everybody's welcome. Thank you.
Director Searcy, do you want to?
Okay, I think I briefly went over the utility operations earlier, and also the Zone 3 tech. The only thing I didn't grab a hold of by the head was the California local special districts, and I'm I'm not really sure when they meet. So I'll have to do some investigating there, and then once I do, I'll find the person responsible for the agenda and introduce myself and get right in. But it's been a pretty productive week, I think, as far as, and like I said, there was so many things going on this week and so many things that come to light. And sometimes it's hard to process it all. So that's all I have, unless you want me to just kind of recap on what I've already reported.
I think that's fine. Anything else?
Did you talk? I haven't done any.
No, go ahead, Director Lucy.
Did you talk about the annual budget?
No, I think this was just the audit. Okay. That's what it appears to be.
Can I just take a moment to do that?
Sure.
Yes, please.
We had a finance committee, and we talked about how we wanted to move forward on building our annual budget, particularly since we're missing several key documents. And so what we were able to do is we have a template to start off with. And as we pull out financial documents, we'll start plugging in the right numbers, you know, and build it from there. What we're asking is that it not just be two directors, but that people from the community would volunteer to be on this finance committee and help. And I know I approached Elizabeth, and she graciously accepted. And I'd like other people, such as Miss Young and stuff, Giselle, you know, people who marry, you know, a lot of people who have been here a long time, because I think we should build it together so we all understand it and we understand what we're supposed to do with it. So I was able to, with the help of a great systems person we have, Patrick, who's been keeping our systems up and as intact as possible, he was able to retrieve just a template, which is fine, you know, because we don't want to waste a lot of time, you know, doing descriptions of departments and stuff. So what we're asking of you is volunteers, people who want to sit on the finance committee and build a real annual budget that we could all be proud of. So if you talk to me after the meeting, and we'll work on putting a schedule together that accommodates everybody and move forward. Thank you.
And finally, myself, personnel, there, as I previously announced, there will be a personnel meeting on the 17th. Some of it will be closed session as we review resumes, since some of that has private information in it. I think we're required to do that. There's going to be a lot of personnel work between now and the meeting on the 22nd, as we will be probably conducting phone interviews, selecting candidates to come before the whole board. There's been a lot of personnel work that's been done over the last 2 weeks, and that's putting it lightly. We've been reviewing records and are continuing to review records, and I think conducting some investigation on some particular issues that when it's complete, we'll see what we can report. Five Cities Fire Authority, I have met with the chiefs again, Chief Heath and Chief Mike Hubert. I just forgot his last name. And we have a meeting on the 17th, 3 o'clock, Grover Beach City Hall. Public is invited. There has not been a meeting since the last board meeting, so that's all the report, other than that I did meet with them in person to discuss some budgetary items. They were concerned about what's happened here in the last week, and so I was able to relieve some of their concerns and let them know that we are working on a budget that are we're still dedicated to the fire department and the Joint Powers Fire Authority. That's all of the reports that I have for this time. We've been, as the community is well aware, very busy. Community enhancement, codifications, and have not met, and I have not had contacts with the supervisors. Finally, I think number 11, public comment. Karen White.
Karen White, House Stand. I just have a question about the creek, the Rio Grande Creek, and I think maybe Miss Lucy could answer it for me. As I came to the meeting tonight, there was a big yellow backhoe sitting on the bank of the creek by the bridge at Halcyon. Just as you come around from Halcyon Road to Highway 1, sitting on the riverbank was a big backhoe. It looked like it was cleaning out. So there was dirt and stuff, like it was cleaning out the creek. Have they already started on that project? Thank you.
They always are cleaning out the creek in some place or another. I'll check into that because I saw that backhoe too. I'll follow up on that.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Elizabeth Ray?
Probably 6 months wouldn't be a bad thing to keep track of, just personal, please. And then also to whoever, I know I'll just put this on a little letter and put it in the box, but whoever's getting this job too needs to really be aware of environmental studies. Huge. Because we have wetlands, we have everything. So that's not just, you know, engineering and water supplies, but they need to be environmental studies group.
Thank you. Any other public comment?
Any volunteers?
Any board member discussion? Number 11, or 12, excuse me.
What was the special meeting, Friday, 1:30?
Friday, 1:30. Okay. You're looking at me like I forgot something. I know that look. No. Okay.
Maybe just one tidbit of information. One of the monitors that the water utility guy had blew up today up at the water yard. I don't know if we have an extra monitor.
Computer monitor?
Yeah, it's just a computer monitor.
We only had one, then it was gone.
Yeah. Well, I thought
it.
About
no,
that,
I'm going to take it back. No, you can have it. No, I'm going to take it back.
Okay. So. But I guess Aaron's monitor died on him today, so we probably need to...
We need two monitors. Really.
Find him one new, used, or whatever, anything.
I'm sure
right now
he's
using a TV, so.
Well, we're using a TV out there, too.
But I just put that out there for information.
Number 13, board member items for the next board meeting agenda. I have one item I'd like to put on. We had discussed this... The sand district, we wanted to have the John Wallace's response to the NOV. I would ask that be disseminated to us. I think it actually, I know I've seen it. Where did I see it? Did I see it in the packet?
Yes, you did.
Okay,
that's
what I thought.
It was very brief.
Yeah.
Well, it was only like maybe 3 pages or something. It was very, very brief.
It was very brief. John Wallace has offered to come speak to the group on the 22nd, and so I don't know, is the board interested in having...
People wait.
After the 22nd? That's going to be a busy meeting, I think.
Yes. Yeah.
Why don't we table that until like the 13th?
Because you're going to want to have a long discussion.
Maybe July 13th is a better time, and I can let John Wallace know July 13th is a better date.
Okay. And then also the Sand District... Their annual budget is also up for approval. And people who are interested in looking at that area of the Sand District, that whole relationship, the annual budget is posted right now for a review. I would strongly encourage people to look at that. I have.
Just one question on item 9, the fee letter.
Yes.
Was that tabled or?
Yes.
Okay.
That was tabled. Are there any other board member items for the next board meeting agenda we'd like to put on at this time?
Can I ask legal counsel, is there anything that we might have overlooked or didn't cover or our brains are like smoking because there's so much to remember, but is there anything else that we're supposed to, that's time sensitive?
No. It was 3 a.m.
Right.
Yeah.
3 a.m. thoughts. No, I can't think of anything else right now.
Just so people know that a board member has been opening the building every morning, and we've been closing it and securing it every night.
Thank you.
Yes. And we're at a point now where we're probably going to have the locks changed very quickly, but until then, everything is coded, passworded, and secured electronically, physically, mentally.
Well, you know what? We should probably direct. Is that something that Dan can do? Or the yard staff can change the locks on the building, or should we call a locksmith tomorrow?
These are pretty much like commercial doors, and they're pretty tricky to change locks.
Why don't we direct staff to call a locksmith tomorrow and get all the locks changed with keys to be delivered to...
I'll be here at 8. I'll call them.
All right. Then I
we'll still direct staff to remind you.
Remind me.
Do we need that as a motion?
Other thing is that the gentleman that came with this request for the water bill leak, maybe this should be reviewed by the Water and Sewer Committee.
Okay.
Verbiage.
I think that both of them actually fell into that arena because this was a.
There's the Ryan letter and the Wagoner.
It hits the plant.
Okay. Well, they should be at least reviewed and see if we can't find these people and answer or respond to them.
I would like to make a motion regarding correspondence and items like this, that when they are received, that they, whatever the subject matter is, that they are routed through the committees for review before any action is taken.
Yeah. Well, if it's a repair job, though, it might be a little tricky to delay repair for a week or two, but they should definitely communicate to
yes,
the chair.
They should be something through the committee.
Yeah. And then at least the committee can review it and then come back to the board with some type of response.
Yes.
The board can approve. Okay.
That is a motion. Or can we just do that?
Let's just do it.
Okay.
Just get her done.
All right. Written communications, number 14.
There is one.
There is one?
Yes, I gave it to you. It's R. Baker.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I have it right here.
I think we handled their concerns tonight.
Derek, do you have any recollection of this?
I'm listening.
For the R. Baker, there's a letter dated June 7th.
Yeah, that's just saying there was an amount that was held back till all that work was done. And so that's what I can gather from after the earthquake. After the earthquake, it was estimated when the liquefaction happened down in the Strands that it was going to cost close to $1 million to rectify the damage that went into the infrastructure down there. And I remember at that time, the board, under the direction of Director Cooney, made a motion to declare a state of emergency, contact FEMA, and move forward in selecting a contractor and doing the repairs. And so I just don't know if this... And so a percentage, $89,000, was retained until the job was completed.
And it has been completed. Now, did you know it's not R.J. Baker's issue that FEMA didn't pay us, but I think where what needs to come out is that FEMA doesn't pay back funds you use that are in a reserve account. So if you have a savings and you use that savings to make the repair, FEMA doesn't usually refund that. And so a lot of this money that was used to do these repairs were from reserve accounts. And my question is, do the auditors have this number? And is it being properly disseminated across the right years? Because it was a multi-year program. Well, I shouldn't say program. I mean, it was close to $1 million in damage. So, and the people of Oceana are feeling that right now. That's a lot of our pain is coming from that. Not our Baker, but from that. FEMA not reimbursing us for those funds. I think that when it was all said and done, FEMA paid the district back right around $300,000, if I remember correctly, over a several-year period. But this is just the remainder of what was done from 2009 to 2010. Did that answer your question?
Yeah.
So that's where the missing money is.
Well, to be honest with you, that's always been my personal belief. Now, I never felt that it was like, I think it was spent. I think that the people of Oceano and the board was misled in how FEMA reimburses things. But I think it was, but they don't, if you use your savings, they don't give you your savings back. You know, if you have enough money to have in savings and you have enough money to fix it, is kind of like their theory. So it cost the city of, well, the township of Oceano $898,913.14. No. Let's just say $900,000 for the sake of argument. And so their balance is that you hold back a certain percentage so a lot of contractors will complete the job. It'll be a good quality job and stuff. And they do have a good reputation around this town. You know, so that's what the money's now we have to pay up.
But is there a question as to whether or not we've already paid it? Or do you believe that that's still an amount outstanding?
No, I believe that's the retainer.
Okay. Oh, yes, there was one public comment request, Giselle Naylor.
This has been information I've been asking for since 2003. Since 2003. And before. Oh, really? I mean, I bought my house in the year 2000. And it's always been well known that water and sewer is the most expensive bill for Oceano. And when I think about how things are going to get audited or how do we know whether we're getting our best, you know, whether things are actually getting done. If they say they're repairing them, we should be as accurately able to determine our expenses as a bank does at the end of the day. We're over or short by one penny, or we've paid exactly this much right down to the penny for this much piping, you know, for this much labor. Who got the contract to repair a particular piece of work? Over what geographical area, on what day, what specific equipment was replaced or repaired? I've been asking for that. I have not one single piece of paper, and I think this falls well within public information and whoever you hire. I mean, this is going to be their day-to-day requirement. They've got to know. If somebody says, if the subcontractor says, we're going to need $40,000 for parts and labor to repair this block, or, there's a leak, somebody better be able to be willing, there ought to be somebody, to go down to the street, stand in the street, take a picture of what is there before repairs, take a picture is what is there after repairs, and just like, when your mom sent you to the grocery store to buy something, bring back the change in the receipt, you've got to have a receipt somewhere. And it's always been a question for me, how does the local government keep track of stuff right down to the penny? We're only a population of 8,000 people. We ought to be able to do that. I want to learn how to do that.
The answer is easy. We get our Tyler technology system up and running and acting like it should be, and we should be know where every penny is.
Receipts.
We should know where every penny is. Right. Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
I so move.
Any second?
Second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Good night.
Good night.
Thank you.